Hello there, and welcome back to today's very special episode of Scaling Wellness, where I have got one of my incredible clients, Claire Linnell, joining me for a chat. Now, Claire was a member of the Accelerator for about 8 months. We worked together very closely on her business as it stood when she first joined, and it has grown into something completely unrecognizable. And Claire, as a business person, is exactly the type of person I like to work with. She's bright, she's smart, she comes from a business corporate background. She has experienced the problem that she helps people with very, very deeply and clearly. But I think one of the best things about working with Claire is that she has very, very clear and important boundaries. She has boundaries over how she wants to work with people, how she wants to help people, and how she can support them. But also she has very clear boundaries of how she wants her life to be. You know, she isn't somebody that wants this to be a, you know, 70-hour a week job. She's coming into the world of online wellness with very clear guidelines and boundaries over, you know, what she's doing this for, who she wants to help, and why that is. And it's about helping other people, but it's also about providing a lifestyle for her family. And we get into that, and we talk a lot about that during the episode. She loves learning, she loves, you know, squeezing the juice out of things. And I really feel like when we worked together in the Accelerator, that's what I appreciated about her most, was that she was there. You know, she talks at the end about the support in the group, but the support was there for her because she asked for it. She was there, she turned up, she showed up, she made the effort, she put the work in. And so working with her has been a total joy. So I really hope you love today's episode, and I'm going to hand over to Claire now. Okay, welcome, welcome. Hi, Claire. It's really great to have you here. Would you like to kind of introduce yourself and just tell the listeners a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Yeah, sure. I am Claire Linnell, and I am a yoga teacher. Have been for the last, 10 years, I think. So I have been teaching in-person classes for the last 10 years, roughly. And I've been the last few years getting more into kind of doing retreats, doing evening retreats, doing sort of longer form classes and workshops. And then last year, I wanted to go a little bit deeper and started my online membership. So kind of summer last year, I started my online membership, and that was kind of born out of a need from my yogis saying, well, you don't teach in the holidays because I have school children, so I don't just teach term time. And they were all saying, look, what do we do in the holidays? We want something to do in the holidays. So I had all these Zoom recordings from COVID where everything went online that I thought, okay, well, you can have those and I will create this little membership. And then I recorded a lot more kind of shorter form classes to go on that. So I built this membership and then things transpired from there, joining you. But I guess we're going to talk about that a little bit more.
Yeah, that's where we started, wasn't it? That's where we met. Yeah. So when we first started working together, which I think was it like September 25, something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, it was.
It's around that time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That's kind of where we began. You had this membership. It was born out of a necessity, you know, a request from your clients, from your customers, and that's something I see a lot. And so tell us how that had gone. So because it had a good start, hadn't it?
Yeah, it was good. I remember creating it. It took a long time. Well, it didn't take a long time. It was intense. It was just intense with the tech and setting it all up. And I launched it and it went really well. I had all the people that I thought were going to bought into it, which is amazing. So a lot of my kind of in-person loyal clients became members, which is amazing. And that was quite good timing because I launched it in July. So it was just the beginning of the summer holidays. So we were kind of stopping in-person classes and then they had it for the summer, which was amazing. But I always in my head thought this could be really amazing. You know, I could do a lot with this. And I had all these kind of ideas bubbling around in my head thinking, well, I could do this and I could do this. And obviously I didn't do anything over the summer because it was summer and I was with my kids and on holiday. But then in September, I kind of came back and thought, right, I really need to deal with this. I need to get all these ideas out of my head and actually into action. So then I started thinking about what next, and I realized that I could probably kind of flounder around for a couple of years on my own, trying stuff out and just kind of trying to do stuff on my own, but actually realized that I probably needed some help trying to get all these ideas kind of into something. So that's when I started looking around and came across your podcast and binged you. It was all kind of that's when I found you.
You went from there. Amazing. I love that. And I find this a lot actually with the people that I end up working with. Two things you said that jumped out. The first one is that desire to kind of speed up the process. Someone said to me recently, in fact it wasn't a client, it was another coach that I'm kind of friendly with or friends with. And she said, I wanted to collapse time. I wanted to get the help to kind of, you know, push me further quicker. And I think that's often the type of person that comes into my world, is that they're quite ambitious. Like you're good at what you do. And actually, when you came in, your membership is beautiful. You know, like you've done such a great job on the branding and the photography and the layout of it and the text and the writing. Like it really looks lovely. And I can imagine as a user, from a user perspective, it's really lovely. So it's like, I've got this great product. I've got all these people that I help. Like, what do I do now? And I think that's often where people kind of find me. Does that kind of speak to the moment?
Totally. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I guess all the people that were on it were all my kind of current clients, and it was about going broader. And I kind of knew that I needed to grow my audience and get myself out there more online. And I had a pretty good social media following. Well, you know, relatively. I was quite consistent with social media, and I was sort of all kind of, and when I started doing the online membership, I realized that that's something I really needed to focus on, because, you know, it was just about reaching new people and being more present online, I guess, when you've got an online offering. But it was really kind of, yeah, I wanted to speed things up. I'm impatient and I just want to get it. I just wanted to get on and do it. So that's why I took the plunge.
I love that. I'm totally in that camp. Like, if I can find someone that has done something before or has done it better or is a step ahead of me, I'll go to that person. Like, why? And I think we have this thing, particularly maybe as women, where we feel this need to like figure it out ourselves. You know, like there's some medal being handed out for the person that tried the hardest or did the most work, or really kind of pushed through. And actually none of those medals are there. Really, all we want is just to get into action and get results quickly, because the quicker we get results, the more likely we are to carry on with it. So it's like that.
Yeah.
Why are we stalling? I see this so often. It's like, oh, I'm waiting for the perfect time. It's like, that doesn't exist.
No, it doesn't exist. Yeah, just do it. Yeah.
Exactly.
I'd been on a bit of a roller coaster with it, because I'd, as you say, I'd done my website the year before. So every year I'd done something quite big with my business, and I kind of just wanted to keep on going with that momentum. I just wanted to keep going with that. I'm just not very good at sitting back and doing nothing.
I think the audience will completely resonate with you. You are in the right room. Ambitious women. So tell me what happened, or tell the audience, because I know already. Tell the audience what happened when we first started working together, when you came into the accelerator.
It was the whole niche thing that I had a real block with, and I knew that was a real part of the way you work. But every time I listened to one of your podcasts on niching, I was like, oh, I just don't think that's going to work for me. I just don't know. You know, like I just kept thinking my in-person people and kept thinking, well, these are such a broad range of people. How can I possibly niche when I've got, you know, all sorts of different people in my classes? But the more when I joined the course and went into it a little bit deeper, it soon became apparent that actually this was obviously something that works and something that I really had to get on board with. So when we had that first one-to-one, that first chat where you kind of delved really deep into my story, into my kind of background, and my why, it became quite apparent who my niche was going to be. And it sort of all clicked into place then. It kind of, I thought, oh, okay, this isn't that hard. This is fine. Because my background is that corporate job, overwhelmed mum in a corporate job, completely overwhelmed, completely not having time, headspace to look after themselves at all. So that was my why. And I, deep down, I kind of knew my why, but I'd never really put it into a niche before. I'd never really thought about putting it into a niche like you suggested. So that totally made sense. And I suppose it's kind of that mindset shift from teaching in person to teaching online. I had to kind of create, sort of have that shift in my head that this is going to be a different way of working.
Yeah. I think the thing that sometimes is tricky when we're finding a niche, there's a couple of things really, you know, that idea of boxing yourself in can be really hard. But I think the big thing that maybe was the struggle for you, and actually I see this with other people as well that come to me and work with me when they've already got a product that they've developed. So it's not like they're completely starting from scratch. And the problem with that is that typically people create a product based on the audience they already have. So they're basing it on, you know, for you, it was based on all of your clients that want you in the summer holidays. So then it's like, right, okay, well, now we're going to niche that. And suddenly that fear creeps in where we think, oh God, but the people already in there don't fit that demographic or this new demographic that we're going to try. So it creates this conflict between past and future, like who was this for and now who is it going to be for in the future? And so when we work together, and actually this is probably more of a common route that most people in the accelerator take when they come in with a membership already, is that we decided to create a front-end product, didn't we? So that you don't have to niche the membership itself, but instead you can niche something at the front end, which means you can leave the membership alone and not upset the people already in there, but you can create something that's really tailored that sends people into the membership afterwards. So what did that process look like?
So when I'd created that niche or discovered kind of the niche that I wanted to work with, it was then about figuring out what these people want, how can I help them? What's the transformation? So I started talking to people, having real kind of conversations with my ideal client. Overwhelmed midlife women in corporate jobs with kids, not in burnout sort of, but in this kind of low level state of constant stress, functioning, getting everything done, but just feeling rubbish and not moving their bodies, not having time for themselves. And I had some real quite deep conversations with a few people about it. And I really understood how much of a problem it is for so many people in that state, which made me even more driven to create something to help people. So I kind of took all that information and started to map out kind of the journey that I wanted people to take people on, and the transformation. So it was sort of getting them from island A to island B and just kind of figuring out what that process, what that journey was going to look like. And kind of doing it with, as you always do, with the founder round was such a clever way of doing it, because if it was me doing it on my own, I'd create the product. I'd probably spend like a year creating the product and then, you know, sell it off that. But actually the way you do it is so clever, because doing that founder round, you know, you're doing it at a slightly cheaper price. You're getting your kind of favorite people, your most loyal clients in there to do it, who already support you and already kind of love you. So that felt like a much more comfortable kind of process. So it was quite clever. And then that means that you can start doing it without the finished product. So it was kind of like an evolving product, which was amazing.
I love that. And it feels like a safe product or a safe way to proceed, I think, for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Because it's, we in the accelerator, we work with this, as Claire's mentioned, this kind of founder version or pilot run of a program. But the nice thing about it, I think, or the thing that I think kind of appeals to people most, is that it gives you opportunities to test it. So you're never launching something or opening the doors on something, or filming something, even creating something that you haven't already kind of, you're not already sure is going to get people through the door. And we do that with the market research. Like you said, you did some really significant market research. We do it with the waiting list process. We do it with the teasing process. So we start to get a feel for what people are feeling about it. You know, if people are excited, if they're not, you know, we start to kind of feel if this is something that's going to work. So we then can open the doors and sell it without even creating one video for it. Whereas I think, like you said, a lot of wellness experts, our kind of zone of genius is in the creation, that we go away and we build something great and then we try and sell it. But doing it that way, we don't even know if people want it. So we just waste time. Again, it's about collapsing time. How can we get this off the ground, you know, fast? So your founder round was, when was it? Was it back in kind of October time? Must have been. And how, tell us about
it. Yeah, I think I started it. Oh, it was great. Yeah, I had a wait list. I had a lot of people on the wait list. It was amazing. And then it pretty much sold out. I didn't really have then a maximum number because obviously I hadn't done the course before. So I hadn't really kind of appreciated the sort of size I wanted it to be. But I had a really good number of people in there. Do you know what? They were the best possible people I could have had in there. I think my messaging was on point. Yay me. It just drew in exactly the right people, which was amazing. And I thought, do you know what? If I can make it work for these people, I had one lady who, she has a corporate job and she's like a really high level corporate job. She travels the world a lot. Her kids at the time, teenagers, one of them was doing exams. And I thought, if I can make it work for you, I can make it work for anyone. I just thought, this is a great test. It was a little scary because I just thought, oh, this is a challenge. But it was amazing. And she was the one who got the most transformation from it, amazingly. So, and that proved to me that I thought, okay, that is my ideal client. That's who I need to work with. That's so job satisfaction, 100%, because it was just, she said it was life-changing. So, and off the back of that, got all the testimonials from them, got all the feedback, you know, all kind of constructive criticism type stuff, not just all amazing stuff, but just really useful, valuable kind of constructive criticism. And then developed it from there. So it went really well. It was fab. Yeah.
It's brilliant, wasn't it? And you did more than anyone, I think, that's been in the accelerator, you have done the work when it comes to really refining your ideal client, like really getting clear on this. And it was kind of a theme all the way through our work together. And we were together for about 8 months, I think, and pretty much all the way through. And what I love about this is that when people start this process online, they think, I'll decide on a niche and that's it, job done. And actually, it's an evolving process. Like you say, you find the person that it works best for, and then you evolve it again and you direct it to that person only. And so your niche becomes actually narrower and narrower and narrower. And you really, really put the time into that, didn't you? And getting that really, really clear.
I did, because I think somewhere along the line, I kept thinking that my messaging kept getting a bit lost. And because I think with my course, because it's not a strength-based course, or it's not a hugely tangible, you know, like there were quite a few people in the group at the time who were doing like a strength-based course or a core course, you know, and I think that stuff's really tangible and really easy, not easy to sell, that sounds terrible, but you know, it's just more tangible. And I think the transformation is easier to sell, whereas
it's more specific.
What I do, it is, I think what I do is I kept thinking, is this a bit too woolly? Is the promise enough? And that's why I just kept on coming back to my avatar and kept on refining it. And now I know exactly what house she lives in, where in my town, you know, I think about her a lot, you know, like I'm walking the dog and I'm kind of imagining talking to her. It's a bit weird, actually. It just really helps. It really helps me to kind of, keep her close and just have that messaging really, really clear.
Yeah. And it's really working. Like, I remember you messaging and saying, I've picked out the house that my avatar lives in.
Yeah.
And no, you knew it down to the finer details. And that is so important, you know, because when we're writing for people and, you know, when someone says to you, it's like you're in my head. That's why, is because you know your customer in that granular detail. So then when, you know, when wellness experts say to me, you know, the market is saturated, it's so busy, there's so many people doing what I'm doing out there. No, they're not, because they don't know the house that their avatar lives in. We need, if as soon as we know that, that separates us from the masses. It moves you into a one man version of what this, you know, you'll be really appealing to a specific group. And so I remember that message. I loved that. So since that founder launch, because that went really, really well, tell us what's happened since there and where you're up to today.
So I've run it. So I'm on my third round now. So I did another round in January. So I did a Joyful January challenge as like a conversion event, which led into my second round. And the challenge was amazing. It was great fun. Had lots of feedback from people. Had a little WhatsApp group going, and everyone kind of motivating each other, and that was really good fun. And then that fed into my second round of Burnout to Balance, which again was really great. Different kind of people in it, which I feel like is probably going to happen every round. Like it's, you know, still my ideal client, but just kind of not quite as corporate. I don't know why that kind of happened, but it still worked really well. And got some great feedback from them. So now I'm on my third round. So I did my first online masterclass a few weeks ago, which led into my third round. So that was a little scary. Hadn't done one of those before. And when you mentioned doing like an online workshop with slides and stuff, I just thought, oh my God, I can't do that. That's not me. I'm a yoga teacher. I can't do that. But actually, when we kind of had that conversation about what it would be about, I sort of got on board with it. And actually, I loved it. I loved doing it. It was great. It was... It was really good. I did like a nervous system regulation kind of chat about how to lower your baseline stress level. So I talked through the kind of different mind states and did a little practice within that. And then quite a few people asking questions at the end. So I had a nice little bit of engagement at the end with everybody. And then that led into my third round, which started on Sunday. So right at the beginning of that round. Yeah, so it's
me, Claire, what plans you have for the program, for the business. What does the future look like for you?
So at the moment, I'm thinking of planning on launching it 3 times a year. So launching Burnout to Balance 3 times a year. I'm not 100% whether that's the right way of doing it, but I think for me, it kind of feels right at the moment. I'm just going to try it out and see if that is the right way of doing it. The Burnout to Balance kind of is feeding quite nicely into the membership. So the Burnout to Balance people are then feeding into my membership, my monthly membership. So that's kind of working nicely. But I do want to do something else with the membership. I feel like there could be another layer or another tier to the membership. So I feel like Burnout to Balance is up here, membership is kind of down here. I feel like there should be something in the middle in terms of an offering. So that's just something that I need to think about, but not putting any pressure on myself at the moment.
No.
What I'm working on this year is creating more balance in my life. Adopting some of my own advice. And not trying to do too much, because I think I feel like I've come a long way since September, and everything's bubbling along nicely. Got lots of aspirations for the future, lots of things bubbling away still in my head.
Absolutely.
But just want to let everything kind of settle and land for a bit, and then I'll think about the next thing.
Yeah. Oh, that's really exciting. I'm really excited for you to see what comes for you and from you. Because what I love that you're doing now, and I think this is where often people go kind of too many steps ahead and it's like everything becomes really overwhelming. But what you're doing now is you've got a plan, right? You've got a launch plan. You know when you're launching, you know how you're launching, you know what you need to be doing between times, so that every launch is a successful launch. So these things start to become really predictable and we start to get those predictable sales, which is amazing. But what I also love that you're doing is you're starting to think about this from a business perspective, which is that kind of customer journey. Like, what do I need for my customers? Because The reason why scaling memberships can be really challenging isn't just the niching thing, it's also the price thing. Usually the price is low. We need to acquire customers at a very cheap price in order to make it worth our while to kind of run these launches. And so When you look at your customer journey, what you're doing that's really clever is you're bringing people in at that top tier. So you're taking the income from that, which means that they can then go into the middle tier and the lower tier, and kind of they have this journey so that the value of every lead that you get into the business increases, which makes you more profitable. And over time, that compounding impact is huge. So that you're kind of, it's so much harder to acquire new customers than it is to kind of really help the customers we already have and offer them more of what they need, which is you. So Having that kind of customer journey In your mind, I think it's a really good next step for you to think, right, how do I now keep, now I know the process of getting them in and giving them the outcome that they need, how do I then offer them a next step? Because someone said to me yesterday, actually, you know, with every problem you solve, which for you is going to be this burnout, moving them into balance, but with every problem you solve comes a new problem, comes a new level. So you've solved in your business the problem of getting leads, making money, you know, growing your program and growing your membership. But now your next problem is going to be, right, okay, well, how do I increase the value of that customer? And the same is true for your customer. They're going to have balance, but then they're going to find, okay, now I want to get better at yoga, or now I want this, or now I want that. So it's about how can we create a business that caters for them as they grow as well, which I think is a really exciting place for you to be at. It's a great next stage for you.
Yeah, it's really exciting. Yeah, it is exciting. It's really exciting. And I think that's one of the other, oh, I have lots of kind of paths I want to go down, but it's kind of choosing the right one. And also understanding, I think being in the accelerator helped me understand that just try it, just test it, see what happens. And, you know, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work, but you just got to test this stuff. I think previously I would have just been all about the, oh no, what if it doesn't work? No, can't possibly do that unless I know it's going to 100% be a success. I'm a lot more kind of loose with that now. I'm just kind of, let's just throw stuff at the wall and see what sticks, you know?
Yeah. And we do it fast and we learn quickly and we adapt fast.
Yeah, fast, yeah. Exactly.
I love that because I think often the issue is the kind of spinning of wheels. Like you said a moment ago, there's so many different paths I could go down. And that's usually what keeps people stuck. Mm. But when they have this freedom to be able to go, I'm going to choose that one today and let's play it out. Let's see what happens. Because none of us actually know. So let's play it out. Let's run it. See what happens. If it doesn't work, we learn from it and we move on. And we fail forwards really quickly and we choose another path. Rather than going down a path, it not working, feeling like you failed and giving up. So having that kind of mentality of, right, let's just play. Let's test. Let's see. And it ultimately moves.
Exactly.
Although it feels slower, it actually moves you faster because it makes you take action. So I love that for you. Tell us about your experience inside the accelerator. What was the most valuable part of that for you?
I think there's two sides to it. I think the support that you give, I think, is amazing. And also, I've been in kind of group communities before where I've almost been a little bit scared about asking too many questions. Like, you know, I always have loads of questions, as you might have gathered. But sometimes when you're working with someone in a group, you almost feel like, oh, I'll just ask one question and then, you know, I'll let everyone else have some airspace. But I think with you, you're so passionate about what you do that you're just genuinely just want more questions. My teacher over in San Francisco, my yoga teacher, is exactly the same. He just absolutely loves his subject topic. That you just like, come on, more. And I think you're the same. You just love to solve people's problems. And it's, you know, it's just never too many problems, never too many questions, never felt kind of, you know, afraid to ask questions. So that was amazing. And the other side, I think, is the community. I think being in it with everyone else was just brilliant because you're all in it together. You're all kind of holding each other up, keeping each other motivated, inspiring each other. If things go wrong, it's like you're all there. You've all been there, you know. I think that is something really nice. And also just different wellness businesses, not just yoga, but, you know, there were quite a few different wellness businesses when I was doing it. And that's really nice because I'm kind of in this yoga world all the time, which is amazing. But it's just nice to kind of, it's interesting to hear what other people are doing and and the way other people work in the wellness world. It's you learn stuff as well, which is great.
Absolutely.
And that cross collaboration as well, you know, the I've worked with a few people in having met through the course, we've worked together on a few things and it's still in contact now after having come out the course, so which is really nice. It's really great.
That's really nice, isn't it? It's a really great group. And I do love that element of it that, you know, once people get in and realize that actually it's not competitive, like it doesn't matter if there's another yoga teacher in there with you and even another yoga teacher doing burnout, which there was whilst you were in the group, wasn't there, with Karen?
Yeah.
But there's still no competition because you have your path and she has her path and you're bringing in the same but different people. There's, and, you know, it's that, you know, rising tide raises all ships. It doesn't have to be one or the other. It can actually be all of you together. Amazing. Oh, it's been so lovely having you in the group. We miss you. We miss you. So let's move on. Before we move on to you telling people where they can find you, we have a new section of this podcast, which is the fast quickfire questions. And so let's go through those. So you know me. I love a long drawn out sentence. So don't feel like you have to condense to one word at all. Feel free
good.
To
I was
embellish.
Really hoping you were going to say that.
No, don't worry. That's not my style at all. So feel free to embellish and we'll go through these. So tell us, number one, what is the best piece of business advice you have ever had?
So I think this goes back to when I was at university graduation and the chancellor of the university said, don't let the serious world of work blind your curiosity. And I think that goes a little bit more back to my corporate world because the corporate world's a little bit more serious. But it also relates to wellness as well. You know, when you're selling a product and you're expecting people to, you know, give you money for this course and, you know, it becomes serious because you want to give them value for money. You want to create that transformation. So, and I think sometimes I think people can get caught up on kind of the serious world. And I think letting that curiosity shine and, you know, it's, for me, it's all about education. It's all about learning. It's all about growing and evolving as a person. So for me, that's helped me through my corporate world and through what I do now. And the other one, I do have one more. I know you said one. The fail forward thing. Don't dwell on your mistakes. As you always say, it's just data. Because I think sometimes if things don't go to plan and your kind of whole frame, like way of looking at it, that mindset shift of just, it's just data. It's just data. Let's look at the data and we'll work out what's happened and then we'll go again. That's really refreshing and that's really helped. And I think that helps with the just the trial and error stuff, you know, just the takes away the perfectionism element of it.
Yeah. I think it's a really good one. It's not so much about, you know, this, like you say, the seriousness of it. Let's just have fun with it. Let's just play and see what happens. And I know that can feel really frivolous when there's, you know, livelihoods and, you know, people are spending money on ads and they're not getting the return. And it can, you know, it can feel really overwhelming, but actually the kind of lighter touch we have on it, the looser grip, the quicker it grows. So I love that.
Yeah.
What's an element of health and wellness that you see people overcomplicating right now?
I think all of it. I think mainly the issue at the moment is just there's so much noise in the wellness world. And I recognize the irony of me saying that because I add to the noise. But I think there's so much noise that people have lost the ability to listen to themselves. And part of my course, pillar one of my Burnout to Balance, is all about building the skill of self-awareness. It's like coming back to yourself, just starting to trust yourself, trust your instincts, go with your gut. And I think that's something that a lot of people have lost because we're all about the external. We get bombarded with external information all the time. But actually, we're all so unique and what works for one person is completely different to the next person. So it's I think the more people can start to build that self-awareness, that level of kind of interception, the more people will know what's right for them. You know, you don't have to listen to all the advice. Absolutely be informed by the advice. You know, there are some amazing experts out there that know all the good stuff. But I think be informed by it, but actually keep coming back to yourself and understanding what works for you as a human being.
Yeah, pick a path. Brilliant. I love that. What is your favourite book, business or not?
So it's got to be a yoga book. Donna Farey's Bringing Yoga to Life is my Bible. And I used to read it. So when I was in my corporate job, super stressed, going from meeting to meeting on the tube, I used to get it out on the tube and read it just to calm myself down. And it talks about a lot about yoga philosophy and how it kind of relates to, you know, modern life. And so I use that a lot. To help me through life. It's amazing.
I think I remember you showing it that when we first met. I remember you holding it up.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's great.
Always by my side.
It's always by your side. I love it. What is a non-negotiable for your daily routine?
My morning practice has got to be. I just do like a 5-10 minute practice up in my little yogi loft space that I've got. Before my household wakes up, I just get up there and have 5-minute movement, 5-minute breath, and 5 minutes of stillness just to start my day the best way. And I know when I haven't done it, I'm a little bit frazzled, I'm a little bit, a little bit all over the place. But help me stay grounded and to deal with everything in life. That's an absolute non-negotiable for me.
Amazing. I love hearing people's, you know, things that they lean on, you know, those little things that they... They're kind of go-tos that we sometimes forget that we have, that we need to kind of bring ourselves back to. So I love that one. Would you say is something people would be surprised to know about you? This is a tough one.
I know, because when you know yourself so well, it's like, well,
is that surprising to people?
But I did a German degree. I guess that's a bit random.
That's a bit random.
Is random. It didn't relate to my job at all, my corporate job at all. I just I had no idea what I wanted to do for A-levels, for a degree. So and I did a German A-level. So and I kind of got to the point where I'd put so much effort into this learning this language, and I thought if I just stop it, then I'm just going to forget it all. So I did it as a degree, and and also I wanted to do a year abroad. I wanted to live abroad for a year, which I did. I lived in Germany for a year teaching English. So that was pretty cool.
There you go. No, I did not know that about you. I love that. What does success look like to you right now?
Balance. The buzzword of balance. It's the balance of work and life. The freedom to work when I want to. So be my own boss, which I am. And have the freedom to spend time, the quality time with my kids. They're growing up fast, and I need to just be with them more. And also making a real difference in people's lives. That's why I do this job, and that's why going online and doing my course is helping me reach more people and helping me go deeper into helping people and deeper into the world of yoga and all the tools, sharing all the tools of yoga that can really be life-changing for people. That and also last thing, I promise, I think also satisfying my own creativity and growing and evolving as a student and teacher of yoga. I think when you teach in-person classes, you know, you have people just for an hour a week. Sometimes, you know, they'll come to 2 classes a week, you just have them for 2 hours a week. It's such a short period of time to be able to really delve deep into these subjects. And I think there's so much in the world of yoga that is just, that fascinates me and a lot of other people. And really being able to delve deep into all of that in my course has, is amazing. So that's really important to me to be able to kind of have that.
I really like that one. Yeah. I really like that one because I think that's a biggie. Actually, what you said then about only being able to help people for an hour a week or 2 hours a week, or, you know, when you know that there's so much more, that's just skimming, you're just sort of skimming the surface. And being able to really kind of create something transformative for people that isn't, you know, and there's no shade on running classes in the local community. That's an incredible thing to do. But it's offering an element of the solution. And it's really lovely to be able to go, right, I can take you further here. If only I could get my hands on you. And I think for anyone listening that's thinking, you know, what is my niche? That's a really great way of looking at it. You know, there's always those people in your classes where you're like, oh my God, if only we had more time together, I could do so much more with you.
Yeah.
So I really like that as an answer, that that's a really good sign of success that you're getting to work with these people. So final question. So question then in that case is, what is one word that describes your time in the accelerator or your time working with me?
Can I have two?
Yeah, you can have two.
First one is support, because it's just, you get so much support. It's incredible. And Caroline, you are always there to answer anything. So that is a big one. And also I would say adventure, because it is a bit of an adventure. It's a little scary at times, going out of your comfort zone with a lot of things. But I think the only way to grow and evolve is to do that, is to get out of your comfort zone. And I've trying to embrace that mindset shift, that getting out of your comfort zone is a good thing. And it totally works and helps. And the more you do that, the braver you get, the more resilient you get. And so it's an adventure.
Fab. And it's been a great adventure. I've just absolutely loved having you as part of the group. Like I say, Claire has now left the accelerator after 8 months together. And it's really weird without you. So I really miss having you in the group. But thank you from my perspective. Thank you for being so brilliant and so kind of supportive of the rest of the group. We've had two away days together, which has been lovely. So we've been able to spend some in-person time together as well, which has been really great.
Yeah.
I've really enjoyed getting to know you, getting to be part of your journey. And I just cannot wait to see what's to come. I think you've got a lot of authenticity about what you do, and you're very committed to your people, which is just brilliant. And it really shines through in everything you do. So I wish you all the very, very best and can't wait to see what's coming for you.
Thank you.
Claire, will you please tell us where people can find you and how they can work with you?
Sure. So I am on Instagram. My Instagram handle is @ClaireLinnellYoga. I'm on Facebook as well, but don't tend to be on there that much. So it's @ClaireLinnellYoga as well. Website is clairelinnellyoga.co.uk. So my Burnout to Balance course is all on there. If you want any more information about it, it's all on there, as is everything, I think. Retreats, in-person classes, membership. All the details are on there. And I have my nervous system reset, my little lead magnet, my little 15-minute wind down practice on there, which is a good one to do if you're in this kind of midlife mum kind of state. It's to help you unwind and feel better.
Amazing. I will link all of that up in the show notes. So if anyone's got any questions for Claire, I will be linking her all of that stuff that we've just mentioned. So thank you so much for being here. Thank you for spending the time with us to help people today. Claire, it's been really, really lovely to see you. So if anyone wants to reach out to Claire, the links are in the show notes, and I will see you all again next week. Thanks so much.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to Scaling Wellness. If you found today's episode valuable, I'd love to hear from you. Connect with me over on Instagram @CarolineCopp. And drop me a DM and let me know what your biggest takeaway was. Or if you know a friend or colleague in wellness who would find this podcast useful, I'd love you to share this episode with them, or maybe tag it in your socials. It might be just what they need to hear today as well. And finally, if you are enjoying the podcast, don't forget, please rate and review. It helps more wellness professionals like you to discover the show and ultimately allows us as a community to grow the wellness message and help more people. So until next time, remember, the problem you solve for your clients still exists. So keep sharing your wellness message.